It's time to get empowered and realize your true beauty with tips, breakthroughs, and secrets of the industry. And now, here's your host, your personal beauty guru, David Pollack.
I'm excited because, as many of the listeners know, I've created products for some of the biggest, most recognized brands. But the guest I've got today is an expert because Rachel Anises, who's joining us, is actually editor-in-chief of The Beauty Professor, and she offers honest perspective on different luxury beauty and skincare brands and products. She's also a full-time communication studies professor. So if she wasn't critiquing my work before, now I've got to worry about the verbal side of things, but we're going to have a lot of fun. Rachel, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me today. I'm excited to be here.
Now I'm nervous. I got to be critiqued at two levels, but I have a feeling you've used some products I've created over the years, which we'll talk about. But I've got to ask is, why did you start a blog?
That's a great question. And I get asked that question frequently, especially in light of what I do for an everyday job. I was actually under a publishing deal with another professor. We wrote a public speaking textbook, gosh, over 6 years ago now. And I didn't take a sabbatical when we wrote the book. We were on opposite coasts, and we wrote the book over a couple of years. And then once it was published, I was still in writer's mode. I think I had created this pattern of living where I was working all day and then writing late at night. And so one winter break, I started a beauty blog strictly for fun, kind of to just exercise my writing, but on my own schedule rather than a publisher's schedule. And I've at that point had amassed a ton of high-end makeup and skincare. I've always been passionate about that vertical. And so I thought about the blog as a way of kind of just cataloging what I had collected and talking with like-minded people. And so it truly started from a place of just creativity and community for me.
Okay. And so why luxury brands though? Why not just everything or some of the mass brands?
Right. Well, I had grown up with very sensitive skin and I'm allergic to lanolin, which isn't a lot of mainstream drugstore brand products. So when I started wearing makeup, and I was actually I paid my way through college by modeling and acting. So I was often in a makeup artist's chair prior to doing a job or a shoot. And I was always really curious about the kinds of products they would curate for their kit and bring into the mix. And I was always asking questions. In fact, I was more interested in the makeup side than even the modeling side, though it was a great way to pay for college. So I learned a lot from the makeup artists. I was always just voraciously observing and asking questions. And often they were using very high-end products that were difficult to find. And that kind of inspired my quest for looking at the best beauty and the best skincare. And for me, luxury beauty, just from an ingredients perspective, though there's no guarantee that everything in every luxury product is pristine, I found that in the general sense, my skin was able to tolerate it better than what I could get at the drugstore.
Okay, from a chemistry side, I would say there's probably a few reasons, because I'm often asked, I'd love to get your opinion, if it's more expensive, do you think it's better? And it sounds to me like you lean towards a yes.
I actually know.
Okay.
Not necessarily. I lean towards not necessarily. I would be hesitant to apply that as a general rule. I think that, you know, for me, makeup and skincare are part of the experience. And so there is some, I think with certain products and high price points, you might, and I'm a big ingredients reader. I'm a tester. I don't talk about product until I've tested it adequately for, in some cases, quite a while. And then it's always just a disclaimer that what may or may not work for my skin may or may not work for your skin, right? Because everyone's skin is different and responds differently. But I've found that I think that the way that certain brands take a lot of time and clinical trials to create their products has, in a lot of ways, you know, mastered formulas that do have efficacy. I do think you can find some great products at more reasonable price points as well. So I'm not a snob about it, but I will say that my interest kind of just gravitates towards the luxury realm. And I think it's an overwhelming realm for people. So it's a place I kind of like to decode online.
I was curious of your views because, you know, I'm mm-hmm. often asked the question, and I want to usually respond that the price doesn't always dictate quality, because I've done work for both. Some of the high-end brands, now not the big brands, but some expensive brands that are smaller, are in a rush mm-hmm. to market, and I find the same at mass. And like you said, they don't go through all the testing. It's not just the efficacy testing, but the we call them dermatological tests or REPTs
right.
to test for sensitivity. And, you know, with some of the big brands that I've worked for, we often work 2 years ahead of the marketplace. In other words, what I work on today and what they're working with me on is not going to be even available for 2 years. I have a lot of respect for that. And I've got other people mm-hmm. that I work with that if we're working on it today, they want it available next, you know, literally within a matter of weeks. And you just right. don't have all the time to test it. And so I prefer working with those companies that want to go through all the testing and can respect it. And I'm an advocate. If you put the customer first, if you're a consumer advocate, if you're your customer's advocate and put them first in everything you do, you're going to grow. If you're just in it for
absolutely.
A quick sale, you miss out. And so those brands that do it, I was at one of the big brands where they actually brought in their own panels to test. This one was lipstick one day I'm watching. Just lines of people. But that's what they were testing, is what they thought, not just of the color, but how it lasted, how it went on. And I'm thinking, this is
right.
a major company that produces millions of lipsticks. And I thought, you know, you really need to go through all this testing each time. And they're like, oh, definitely. And maybe that's why they're so successful. But I've got to hand it to you, because you get these products and then you, like you said, you try them for a while and then actually give honest opinions of them. And when you say use them for a while, what is a while? Because if I get a sample at a store, I got to say this to our listeners, because when you get the samples, shame on the cosmetic companies that give you this little dot. They think you use it once
right.
or put on the back of your hand and that's enough to decide to buy it. It's an investment, not just in the skincare, but you're using hard-earned money that you don't want it to ruin your skin, let alone if it didn't have any benefit. You just don't want it to break you out. But how long do you use
absolutely.
Something for?
So with makeup, that's something, you know, with color products, that's something I can try right away. And I'll see if it kind of seamlessly integrates into my routine. I'm documenting it on film along the way, noting texture, noting lasting power, things like that. So for like a foundation or a lip color, I can try that immediately, kind of work it into a week of trial, and then I'm happy to discuss it on the website. Skincare, I think we both know it takes a while, in some cases between 3 and 6 weeks, to be able to note, you know, to properly test
yep.
skincare and also to note any efficacy. So I am definitely adherent to that kind of time schedule. That does mean that the level or the amount of skincare in terms of diversity that I test on the blog is pretty limited, because my skin can't be testing something brand new every 6 weeks. And when I find stuff I like, I don't really want to deviate too dramatically because my skin is benefiting. So
you'll laugh. We laugh when we do clinicals. The reason you don't often see the half face clinicals, because when the person sees mm-hmm. the left side outperforming human nature, they instantly want to try it on the right side, and to get somebody not to is you know, it's just
right.
not going to happen. So it's funny
no
that you say
to,
that.
No one wants to be imbalanced like that, truly. Yeah. So I'm way more conservative when it comes to skincare and what I try. When I first started the blog, I was, you know, open to all sorts of things, but I've definitely streamlined my efforts with skincare. There's probably 5 brands that I'm incredibly loyal to that I will consistently try new launches with and work with closely. But beyond that, it's kind of, you know, if it's a mask here or a cleanser there, that's one thing. But serums and moisturizers and anti-aging creams at night, that stuff is streamlined strictly so that my skin can actually benefit from the experience as well.
Well, and I know you've got a lot of information, but we're going to run out of time, so I want to quickly go through. But let me ask you, how do you define a luxury brand when you keep saying luxury? Is it affordable? Is it moderate, high-end? What's luxury to you?
Luxury, for me, I think initially luxury was the semi-unattainable. So it was the product you really had to hunt for. There are key brands in my head that I'm thinking of now. I'm not sure. Are we at liberty to mention brands on the show?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, so for example, the brand Clé de Peau, that was really hard for me to find for a while in college. It's become more available. Sisley Paris, same idea. They have limited storefront or limited counters, and I think that limited nature makes them, in addition to their price point and their ingredients and their company history, makes them a luxury brand in my mind. There's something that are kind of investment worthy, and that's a term I use a lot in my blog. I feel like this is investment worthy. You're not just investing in your skin or in your lips, you're also investing in the experience with this product. So price, I think it's a combination of a few elements, but for me, I think when something's massively available, that makes it less appealing in the luxury market for me.
Well, you actually hit on something, because it really is an investment. And so I know a lot of people maybe can't afford it, but sometimes read the blog, get the information. And I know we didn't get to talk on some things about the academic world and how the beauty worlds converge, but you visit the website, because Rachel's got a lot of great information, because you want to learn, you want to be educated, and you want to buy the products that's right for you. So visit her website, beautyprofessor.net. That's beautyprofessor.net. And we're going to post the link on the website as well. This is David Pollack, your personal beauty guru. And if you have a question about beauty, don't hesitate. Just ask David.
The preceding show was produced by the Gab Radio Network. For more information about the services we provide, visit GabRadioNetwork.com.